Welcome into an NBA Draft Night edition of Armchair Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Well, it was a very awkward evening for a lot of teams, but Portland definitely came away with a bunch of new players that we'll get into in a minute. We know that Philadelphia traded up for the number one pick prior to draft night. They ended up taking Markelle Fultz out of Washington. Then you also had the LA Lakers standing pat at number two, selecting Lonzo Ball out of UCLA. It wasn't really a big surprise. The only surprise that might have come out was Boston taking Jason Tatum at number three out of Duke. A lot of people thought they were going to take Josh Jackson, maybe even De'Aaron Fox, but Jason Tatum kind of came up on a lot of draft boards later in the evening, and I don't know if it's a surprise to a lot of people, but I'm not sure that's who they were hoping they would take, but we'll see if he can do what they hope he can do. Another big issue that came up tonight was Jimmy Butler of Chicago is now officially a Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves traded the number 7 overall pick to Chicago. They get the rights to Butler. They also got the rights to the 16th overall pick. It's a big night for that franchise that struggled for a lot of years. Now they've got a really nice big three with Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, and now Jimmy Butler to go with head coach Tom Thibodeau. So a lot of teams are jealous of that core that they've now got, and we'll see what Portland and the rest of the West can do with that. You know, Minnesota was a borderline playoff team, a bubble team, if you will, last year. Really struggled to get close to a 500 record to make it into the second season and didn't quite make it. But now with a really elite defender like Butler at the shooting guard position, they've got a real shot. Portland, on the other hand, traded into the top 10. They traded number 15 and number 20 to Sacramento to get pick number 10. They used it on Gonzaga center Zach Collins, who some of you may remember from the NCAA tournament. He wasn't a starting center for Gonzaga for most of the season because of the depth they had at that position, but he was definitely a key element to what helped them get on their Final Four and eventually their runner-up to the championship run. Was he the right fit for Portland? Maybe. I guess we'll find out in a year or two if that was the right call. We definitely needed guys that could instantly produce. I'm not sure if he's the fit for that, but they needed somebody that could come in and spell Yusuf Nurkic, and they needed somebody that could come in and compete with Noah Vonleh for the four spot. So if that's what they were after, that's what they got, and we'll have to hope that that's enough for Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum to stay happy. The other big news out of the night was that Josh Jackson ended up sliding down to number four, where he went to the Phoenix Suns, and they are thrilled with getting Jackson at that pick. He was a lot of people's steal on the draft board. De'Aaron Fox of Kentucky went to the Sacramento Kings, and then Jason Isaac from Florida State went to the Orlando Magic. Then you had Lauri McMakkinen from Arizona going to the Timberwolves, who eventually traded that pick to Chicago. And rounding up the top 10, you had Frank, we'll just say his last name is Nikita, from France. He's their point guard, and then Dennis Smith from NC State. And then Zach Collins by the Blazers. Now, here's where it gets real interesting is Malik Monk, who was a really good shooting guard slash small forward slash wingman from Kentucky, went number 11. Some would say that's a perfect fit for what Portland needs right now, and I would say they're probably spot on there, but we'll have to wait and see if Collins is the better fit long term. And then Portland traded Justin Jackson to the Kings at number 15. So a lot of people were really excited to see Justin Jackson in a Portland hat, but it didn't last very long because he was very quickly after that traded to Sacramento, who had his actual rights. DJ Wilson and TJ Leaf and Justin Patton came off the board next, followed by John Collins out of Wake Forest, who was a lot of people's sleeper picks. I know there are a couple people here in Portland that wanted him to go to Portland. He is now a member of the Atlanta Hawks. Harry Giles was selected at Portland at number 20 out of Duke. He's had some knee issues, and we weren't sure if he was going to last, and so it's probably a good thing that he also got shipped over to Sacramento as part of that trade. Terrence Ferguson, Jared Allen, Oge Anunoby, and Tyler Lydon went next, and then a name I can't even pronounce from Latvia went at 25 to Orlando. And finally, Portland's last pick of the night at number 26 was Caleb Swanigan from Purdue, who has had a stellar career in the Big Ten, and we'll see what he can do in Portland and maybe even come in and compete for a time on the floor with Zach Collins. I guess we'll find out how that goes when it happens. But all in all, not a bad night for Portland. There's still some potential for them to get some trades done and maybe in a couple of free agents. But the big question is, what in the world do they do with all these salary issues now? The salary numbers came in lower than projected due to the, let's just call them, unfavorable playoff television ratings. So now you have a lower ceiling to deal with and a pretty high salary. So guys like Mo Harkless, Al-Farouq Aminu, Myers Leonard, Alan Crabb, Evan Turner, guys that you didn't really see as long-term investments that you were hoping to have a lot of assets to trade this summer. Now you're kind of against the wall where you might have to trade them or dump them and hope that you can amnesty one of them. But, I'm no expert on NBA contracts, but I'll just tell you right now, that's not an optimal situation to be in going into July 1st. Neil Olshey is definitely going to have his hands tied behind his back. We'll see what he can do to get out of this one. He spent a lot of money last year with the idea that there would be a big salary cap this year, and it isn't what people thought it would be. The Blazers swung and missed on Paul George. There was a lot of talk earlier in the day on Thursday that they would be going after Paul George and trading any number of their picks, plus at least one player not named Damian, CJ, or Nurkic. But it ultimately came down to that Indiana didn't like the picks, or they didn't like the players, or they didn't like the combination. I'm not entirely sure what's going on there, but no matter how you slice it, that trade didn't go down well for Portland. They also didn't get anywhere with the Jimmy Butler trade, so now Minnesota gets stronger while Portland feasibly gets weaker. And you have Golden State, who's strong as ever, and you have the Clippers, who are looking to bring in some talent. You have the Lakers, who just got really good overnight. And you still have the Hornets, who have that two-headed monster in DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, and they're looking to get even better this year. You have Minnesota, who definitely took a big step forward. So I guess now, if you're Portland, what do you do? Because you still don't have a three that you can really run with. You definitely don't have a four. So you're kind of right back where you were before draft night, where you have a one, a two, and a five, and you're still missing a three and a four. And say what you will about these draft picks, but they don't look like guys on paper that can come in and produce right away, which scares a lot of people because this is a team that needs help now. They don't need it in 3 or 4 years when half the roster's either out of their prime or on their way out. And while Dame and CJ are not old men by any stretch of the imagination, they're not young either. I mean, they're getting right into their prime years right now. They need the help now. They can't wait till Golden State either gets injured or old or underpaid or any of those things. They need some help right now, and we'll just have to see what happens. So that moves us to free agency coming up, and you're going to have some trade banter for Kevin Love, for Paul George, for a couple other guys that probably would help Portland be a better team overall. But, you know, now that you don't have a lot of trade assets, who do you go after and how do you get them? I mean, like Kevin Love, if you were going to go to Cleveland right now and knock on their door, what are you offering in return to get them to go for that? Or the big deal that's been going around the NBA today is the potential for the Spurs to get a top 10 pick and to swap LaMarcus Aldridge, maybe even Danny Green in the deal. So I guess if you're Portland, do you look at that and say, I will take LaMarcus Aldridge and or Danny Green and give you Zach Collins? Are you comfortable making that deal? I would assume that that would have to come with some sort of cash trade, because Portland can't possibly afford to absorb LaMarcus Aldridge and Danny Green, who are both on pretty significant contracts. It would definitely be an upgrade. You'd have an instant four you could start. You'd have an instant backup or potential small forward that you could start. You'd definitely have to give something in return. I'm not sure what San Antonio would want, but you'd probably have to give up a Mo Harkless or an Alan Crabb in return. And I wouldn't have a problem with that. If that's the deal that Olshey ultimately has on the table, let's go for that. I don't think that's a problem. I think if you end up with next year where you're starting Damian, CJ, Danny Green, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Yusuf Nurkic, that's a pretty stellar starting five. I'll take that all day long. If you can afford it, I guess that's the real question is, can you afford to bring in that many guys and not have a problem? So then the other side of this is, where does Portland go if they don't go to San Antonio? If they don't get Aldridge back and they don't get Danny Green in a trade, who do they go after? Who do they go and pursue greatness from? Because Indiana's basically stopped picking up the phone, and you really don't have a bunch of contracts you can't really do anything with. You've got a couple star players that don't seem thrilled with how things are going. I have no idea how they're taking the draft picks, but going into the draft on Thursday night, Damian and CJ were both very active on Twitter, basically saying that they wanted Neil Olshey to go after whoever he had to go after to get somebody better than what they have. I think a lot of guys are walking on eggshells and saying what they need to say, but these guys are, you know, give credit where credit is due. They're going after whoever they need to make them a member or a fellow player or some fans, because they shouldn't have to do that. They shouldn't have to fight for what they know they deserve and also diminish relationships with people that maybe don't give them enough respect to begin with. So, you know, I really hope that that didn't come into play at all, that Olshay did this on his own and wasn't waiting for them to start barking at him. But I get the impression that he was kind of standing pat and they went after him to make sure that he did something. So we'll kind of see how that plays out. Again, I'm no NBA insider. I don't have anything on what happened inside the Moda Center or inside Neil Olshay's head or inside Damian Lillard's head or CJ McCollum's head. I have no insight to that. I'm just grasping at straws here. I'm just a random guy with a microphone, so don't read too much into what I'm telling you, but it definitely looks like a draft night to forget. It looks like a season that we'll just move on from, and we'll hope that the big three of Lillard, McCollum, and Nurkic will be enough, healthy, and stable throughout the course of the season to push around the big boys of the NBA. Because without Nurkic, they really just went back to being a borderline playoff team. With Nurkic, they were a borderline elite team, and I'd love to see what a healthy trio of those three could do together for an entire season. So now you don't have Kevin Love, you don't have Paul George. Who do you go after now? I mean, do you keep Damian Lillard? Do you keep CJ McCollum? Do you keep Yusuf Nurkic? Who makes this team better? Who makes them good enough to go after Golden State, assuming they're all healthy? I mean, you have Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, who are definitely injury concerns. They would be anywhere, but they're definitely there because they get played so much. But then you have a guy like Draymond Green, a guy like Klay Thompson, who those guys could play the whole year and into the playoffs, and they seem fine. They don't seem like they get heavy miles at all, and I don't know how Portland gets their hands on somebody like that, but without a Kevin Love or a Paul George or a big stash like that, how do you go deep in these NBA playoffs? You've got too many teams to compete with. You have Golden State, obviously. You now also have the Clippers. You also have the Warriors. You also have the Rockets, you also have the Timberwolves, you also have the Pelicans, you also have the Thunder. It just goes on and on and on. Where does Portland fall in that list? Are they a number 4 or number 5 at best? Are they a number 2 or 3? Are they a 7 or 8 like they were this year? Are they a 500 team? Are they a 52 and 14 kind of team? I mean, where do you see them finishing if they don't get any more players after this? If this is the best roster they can put together, where do they go? I think that this last year was an anomaly. You know, they had 2 years ago where they were a better team than people expected. They had last year where nobody really knew what to expect. And then you have this year where you don't really know what to expect, but you hope that they can at least clean up what happened at the end of last year. Now that they've got Nurkic, they've got a real shot. You know, they traded away Plumlee and they traded away some other guys, and it didn't really add up, and they signed too many players to big deals that didn't really work out, and now they've got something called a contract envy with a lot of teams, and it's not a good look for Portland right now. They've got some really talented and good pieces, but they've also got a lot of riffraff, and the good just doesn't outweigh the bad right now. And that's, I think, the main concern is, where do you go if you're Portland with Damian and CJ? You have these big monster deals for the two of them. You have Yusuf Nurkic, who's gonna need a big deal here sooner or later if he plays more the way he did end of last year. You have Allen Crabb, who you already owe. You're not really getting a ton of production out of him, and he's not getting any younger. You have Evan Turner, another guy you overpaid, overextended on, and again, not getting any younger. And then you've got Mo Harkless, again, overextended, overpaid. He's basically staying the same age. We'll see what he can do, but he's been a retread in two different locations now, and I'm not sure that we really got the player we were hoping for when we got him out of Orlando last year, and we'll see what he can do. And then you've got Ed Davis and Al-Farouq Aminu to kind of round out your 10-man rotation, and now these two new rookies, and we'll see what they can do, but I don't think anybody's expecting big things out of two guys that have never played a single minute in the NBA, let alone expecting much out of them to help this team get into the playoff hunt. I mean, that's the big surprise here, is where in the world are the big splash moves that would help Portland get into the playoffs and beyond? I don't think that anybody in their right mind would say that Zach Collins is a guy that can put you beyond where you were last year. I mean, sure, he'll be a nice addition to the roster, but at the end of the day, what does he really offer you? He's a 19-year-old player that offers some big things in terms of a rotation player, but as far as like a starter at the four right out of the gate, I'm not sure he's better than Myers Leonard. He's definitely got more potential because he doesn't have a whole bunch of confidence issues, but maybe he's an NBA big man that we were looking for. Maybe he's not. I guess we'll find out. You know, you've got Nurkic and he can just make guys around him better, and so we'll hope that the trio of Lillard and McCollum and Nurkic will be enough to get whoever's in the mix with them at 3 and 4 get up to speed and playing steady very quickly. But I don't know, if you're out there in Portland and you watch the draft, I'm curious what your thoughts are, because I know mine are that this ship is sinking and we can only bail it out so fast, and I don't want to see Damian or CJ leave in the next year or two because there's not been enough done. I definitely don't want to see Nurkic leave because it's yet another opportunity missed. And there's just too many fans that deserve to see more than this. So we'll see. I'm not trying to put a negative spin on it, but taking Collins to the number 10 definitely didn't make the big splash I think a lot of us were expecting Olshay to make, and that's where it gets a little dicey. We've got a whole other season to see what happens before things get to blow-up mode, where you're starting to look at restructuring deals and trading a bunch of players, and that's where things go from rebuild to reload, or they go from reload back to rebuild, and we'll see which direction Portland can ultimately go in. This Golden State monster is not going anywhere anytime soon, and neither are a lot of the other teams in the West. You've got San Antonio, who's just going to get younger. You have the Clippers, who are pretty young already. You have Golden State, who's very young and in their prime. You have Minnesota, who just took a big step forward, and they're very young. And you know, you've got New Orleans, who's also very young, and they took a big step forward last year. We'll see if they can continue that this season with kind of a deflated roster, but they've still got, again, the two-headed monster of Davis and Cousins, so they've got something going for them and two superstars. But Portland has their own two superstars. We'll see how far those two can carry them. I'm not sure I buy into the fact that Lillard and McCollum are good enough with Nurkic to carry a team that has Zach Collins as his main free agent / draft pickup, but I've been wrong many times before. I look forward to being wrong about this one. I really hope I am. It's not one of those where I want to look back and go, I told you so. It's one of those where I really hope that I'm reading this horribly wrong and that Collins is going to be exactly what we need. But I remember last year and the year before in the draft thinking that Portland made some kind of questionable choices, and I remember thinking at the time, wouldn't a guy like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson fit pretty nicely as a replacement for Nick Batum? And instead we traded him to Brooklyn and ended up getting Miles Plumlee, who ended up trading away anyway. So not saying it's going downhill or that the building's on fire, but definitely not sure I buy into what's going on yet. I'm feeling a little disillusioned, and they are free to draft whoever they like, but I just don't understand this. I feel like Justin Jackson or Malik Monk would have been a better pickup at 10, or they could have kept the pick and picked Monk at, or sorry, they could have kept the pick and picked Justin Jackson at number 15. Maybe that was the right move to go with, maybe not. I know when Damian Lillard was drafted, I was hoping they would go after Harrison Barnes and Andre Drummond, and they ended up getting Damian Lillard and Myers Leonard. So sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. That year they hit on one and missed on the other, and they would have hit on one and missed on the other in my draft also. So it's not like I have all the answers. I know Olshay gets paid to do a job he's very good at, so we'll just see what he comes up with, and the rest of the NBA will follow suit, because we don't know who's going to win the Paul George sweepstakes. We would assume it's LA at this point. I mean, they have Ball now, they have Brandon Ingram, and you know, if they can get Paul George in that deal and then maybe swing LeBron James in there somehow, you know, they'll have enough contract space to make it work. But are those guys going to want to play for LA next year? And then you've also got Boston, who really is in the best stands of anybody in the next couple of years. But as far as next season alone, can they beat Cleveland? Can they compete with Cleveland? I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out, because there's also some free agency still to go. The summer is just beginning. And then there's also, you know, does LeBron stay in Cleveland? Does he move out west? If he does go out west, where does he go? You know, a lot of rumors have had him going to the Clippers or to the Lakers or to the Spurs or to any number of teams. A lot of people want to see him go to Oklahoma City, because wouldn't that be funny to see LeBron team up with Westbrook and Adams and take on Golden State wearing KD's old uniform? That'd be pretty neat, but I don't think that's going to happen. There's also Houston. Houston has James Harden, and that's enough for most teams, and he does a great job there as their de facto point guard, but you can only get so far in this league with one man, and Portland knew that for a long time, and they finally got a couple guys. Now they have three guys, and now they're learning that you can only get so far with three guys, and sooner or later they'll learn you can only get so far with four and five and six, and you just needed to go back to a basic outline of what makes a team, and Golden State seems to have it, and everyone else is chasing them. So until Curry or Durant or one of their big four suffer a huge setback, it's going to be a backstage or a backseat ride to the finish line for a lot of teams, and Portland will just have to count themselves among the lucky enough to be there. And I'm not sure I love that idea that, you know, just being happy to be included in the dance, but, you know, at this point, you know, after spending so many years outside of the playoffs, maybe it's better for them to finally be happy with just arriving. I certainly wouldn't be, but I don't make the decisions for Portland. I don't draft who they draft. I don't look to who they're going to look to. I just sit there and I stare blankly at the screen when the wrong name gets announced. So we'll just see what happens. It's a long season. A lot can happen. There's still the trade deadline coming in February that we can worry about. There's still a summer of free agency that we can worry about. There's still a lot of teams that might want to invite some unfriendly contracts into their hometown. I know Brooklyn wanted Evan Turner last, or not Evan Turner, they wanted Alan Crabb last year, and we signed him instead. Maybe they'd be willing to take him off our hands and, you know, team him up with D'Angelo Russell that they just traded to LA with. And who knows, maybe the Clippers or the Spurs or the Sixers or some desperate team will come along and need to spend some salary money and want to sign a Blazer or two that really is in desperate need of it. But that's really the best you can hope for, because Portland doesn't have any tradable assets anymore. They've got a bunch of riffraff that the league didn't want to begin with, and we collected them here as a collection of wings, and unfortunately paid them so much money that the average team is going to take one look at that and just run the other direction. I'm not saying Olshay should have signed them to different deals. I'm just saying, if you're the other team, why do you take this deal? What are we offering you at this point? I mean, we can offer you Zach Collins. Maybe if you're San Antonio, you like that idea. But the problem is they want to unload LaMarcus Aldridge, who signed a major deal that we can no longer afford because we just signed CJ and Dame to big deals, along with everyone else. We're definitely above the salary cap floor. We're almost above the salary cap ceiling. It's definitely not a good look for whoever's paying the payroll here. So we got the luxury tax to worry about. And there's plenty more to worry about, because if any of the big three go down, there's really no one on this team that can step in right away and take that role away from them. And that's going to be a big hurt if any of them go down for an extended period of time, because we've seen that Damian can play through just about anything, and so can a lot of the guys on the roster. But CJ seems like he's injured a little bit more every year, and Nurkic only lasted 1 month before he went down with a knee injury. So you have to wonder, how much depth does this team really have if any of their big names go down for extended periods of time? Do they have anybody that can keep them afloat? And I guess when you look at that, you go, Zach Collins, how is he supposed to keep this team going if somebody goes down? Is he the rim protector they need? Is he the scorer they need? Is he the rebounder they need? I don't think so, but maybe in a year or two. I guess we'll see what he can do. And then conversely, if you had really thrown everything you had into getting Paul George, I'm not saying they didn't, but let's just imagine that they had, and he comes to Portland for a year, that's a pretty darn special team, having Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Paul George, Noah Vonleh, and Yusuf Nurkic as your starting five. I'd like to see them go against the best in the West with that lineup. I'd love to see what that could do. I think that would be really fun to see Paul George against Kevin Durant, you know, a couple times a year, and then hopefully for a series in the playoffs, and have a legitimate superstar lining up for Portland for once. I mean, we have a couple of all-stars, but we don't have a legitimate superstar. I mean, if we did, I don't know why you go after a guy like Paul George. If we already had the star power, there's no reason to go and clamor for him to come here. He should already want to. You have two guys that are in the top five at their position, but other than what we love about them in here in Portland, the nation, for whatever reason, doesn't recognize them that way. They recognize them as also Rands, and not saying that's right or wrong, well, I'll just say it's wrong, but they aren't superstars in the eye of the NBA fan. The average NBA fan sees a guy like Russell Westbrook or James Harden or Steph Curry because they're on TV every night on the highlights. The guys at ESPN don't want to show Portland, and that's not a knock against them. It's just the way of the world. So we've got Portland, who is a small market team, if we're being brutally honest, and they just got a little bit smaller on the NBA radar by making some questionable moves on NBA draft night. And then you've got them going into the season kind of wondering where they are. And we're coming up on the 30-minute mark, so we'll get you guys out of here because I promised 30 minutes or less on my show. So for those of you that have kept listening this long, thank you for listening to my rant. I know that it's not always coherent and that it doesn't always hit the mark, but I'm glad you at least took the time to hear it. And I'll just say, I hope that I'm wrong. I'll say it over and over. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Portland has a plan in place that really makes sense when we finally unveil the starting lineup next year. But this just looks like a couple years ago when we had Lillard, McCollum, Vonleh. I couldn't tell you who the small forward was, and Plumlee at center, and it just looked like a team built to go to the lottery. And I don't know that this one is built that way, but I don't think they look built like a contender either. So it's a scary time. I don't anticipate a lot of excitement coming out of this draft. I know a couple of Blazer fans I've talked to are really excited about Collins, and a couple else are shaking their heads and wondering where in the world Jordan Bell went and why we didn't bring him in. We could have had him and Justin Jackson and really had a nice 3-4 punch right there. Wouldn't have even required a trade. That's the funny part, is we could have kept the 20 and taken a risk on the Duke player we sent to Sacramento, but instead we kept two of the picks and traded one, and we'll kind of see if we even have the money to sign all three when all is said and done. But you never know. Old Shea could have something up his sleeve to get one of these guys over to another team and out of town and off the payroll, and we'll just see what he has. So thank you again for listening. This has been Armchair Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I want to thank the band Liebecker for providing music on the show. Their single Without a Fight is what you heard coming into the show. And if you haven't checked them out, please do at www.liebeckermusic.com. And for all of those guys out there that are really clamoring for a Portland redraft, sorry, it doesn't work that way. This is the team they have now, and we'll just have to hope that this isn't a bad dream when we wake up in the morning. So thank you again, and have a great weekend.